Welcome to Revision Ready, the podcast that gets you exam confident, one topic at a time. I'm your tutor, and today we're diving into a topic that is absolutely essential for your GCSE geography exam, the energy mix. Now, I know what you might be thinking. Energy sounds a bit dry, right? But trust me, this topic is genuinely fascinating once you understand it, and examiners absolutely love it. It links physical geography, human geography, economics, and global development all in one. So if you can nail this, you're going to be picking up marks across multiple questions. Let's start with the big question. What actually is the energy mix? The energy mix simply refers to the different proportions of energy resources that a country uses to meet its total energy demand. Think of it like a recipe. Every country has its own unique recipe for energy. Some use lots of gas, some rely on nuclear, others are almost entirely renewable. The mix is the combination of all those ingredients. Now, here's the first thing examiners want you to get right, and this is a really common mistake. Do not confuse the energy mix with energy consumption or energy demand. Energy demand is how much energy a country needs. Energy consumption is how much it actually uses. But the energy mix is specifically about the proportions, the percentages of different sources that make up that total. Examiners will be looking for that word, proportions. Use it. Right, so let's talk about the UK's energy mix, because this is a named example you absolutely must know. The UK's energy mix has changed dramatically over the last 50 years. Back in the 1970s, coal dominated. It made up around 90% of the UK's electricity generation. Coal was king. We had massive coal fields in Yorkshire, South Wales and the Midlands, and coal-fired power stations were everywhere. But today, the picture looks completely different. In recent years, natural gas has been the largest single source, making up roughly 38% of the UK's electricity. Renewables, that's wind, solar and hydroelectric combined, have grown enormously and now account for around 33%. Nuclear contributes about 16%, and coal? Coal has collapsed to just 2%. In fact, in 2024, the UK closed its very last coal-fired power station at Ratcliffe-on-Soar in Nottinghamshire. That is a massive shift. So why has the UK's mix changed? Three main reasons. First, environmental policy. The UK has legally binding carbon reduction targets under the Climate Change Act 2008, which means it has to reduce fossil fuel use. Second, North Sea gas. When large gas reserves were discovered under the North Sea in the 1970s and 80s, gas became cheap and accessible. Third, investment in renewables. The UK has invested heavily in offshore wind. The Hornsea 1 wind farm off the Yorkshire coast is one of the largest in the world, generating enough electricity for over 1 million homes. Now, let's zoom out and look at global variations in the energy mix. This is where the topic gets really interesting and really exam heavy. Examiners expect you to explain why different countries have different energy mixes, and there are three key factors you need to know: population, wealth, and the availability of energy resources. I want you to remember those three. Population, wealth, resources. You could use the acronym PWR, power, to remember them. Let's take each one in turn. Factor one, population.
The size and distribution of a country's population affects its energy mix in two ways. First, a larger population means higher total energy demand. More people means more homes, more factories, more transport. Countries with huge populations, like China with 1.4 billion people, or India with 1.4 billion, need enormous amounts of energy, and they often rely on cheap, abundant fossil fuels to meet that demand quickly. China, for example, still generates around 60% of its electricity from coal, simply because coal is cheap and available at the scale needed to power such a vast country. But it's not just total population size that matters, it's also how people are distributed. Countries with large urban populations tend to use centralised energy sources, like gas-fired power stations or nuclear plants, because cities can be connected to national grids efficiently. But in countries where large proportions of the population live in remote rural areas, think parts of sub-Saharan Africa, people may rely on biomass, which means burning wood or charcoal, because there is no grid connection. In fact, around 700 million people globally still rely on biomass as their primary energy source. That tells you a lot about how population distribution shapes the energy mix. Factor 2. Wealth. A country's wealth, usually measured by GDP per capita, has a huge influence on its energy mix. Wealthier countries, what geographers call high-income countries, or HICs, can afford to invest in expensive but cleaner technologies, like offshore wind farms, nuclear power stations, and solar arrays. These technologies have high upfront costs, but lower running costs and lower carbon emissions. The UK, Germany, and Denmark have all invested heavily in renewables because they have the financial resources to do so. Poorer countries, what we call low-income countries, or LICs, often cannot afford those upfront investments. They rely on cheaper fossil fuels, coal, oil, and gas, or on traditional biomass. Nigeria is a great example here. With a GDP per capita of around $2,100, compare that to the UK's $33,000, Nigeria relies heavily on oil, which it exports, and on biomass for domestic cooking and heating. Around 80% of Nigeria's energy comes from fossil fuels and biomass. There's also the issue of energy infrastructure. Building a national electricity grid, constructing power stations, and connecting remote communities all require massive investment. Wealthier countries have already built that infrastructure over decades. Poorer countries are still developing it, and they often make choices based on what is cheapest and fastest to build, which frequently means fossil fuels. Factor 3. Availability of energy resources. Perhaps the most logical factor. Countries tend to use the energy resources they actually have. This seems obvious, but it produces some really striking examples. Take Saudi Arabia. Saudi Arabia sits on some of the world's largest proven oil reserves, around 266 billion barrels. It is the world's largest oil exporter. So it should be no surprise that oil makes up around 60% of Saudi Arabia's energy mix. Why would they import expensive alternatives when they are literally sitting on an ocean of oil? Now, compare that to Iceland. Iceland is a volcanic island in the North Atlantic, sitting on the Mid-Atlantic Ridge where tectonic plates are pulling apart. All that geological activity means Iceland has extraordinary geothermal energy, heat from the Earth itself. Iceland generates around 66% of its electricity from geothermal sources and 33% from hydroelectric power. Nearly 100% of Iceland's electricity is renewable, not because Iceland is particularly wealthy or has a green ideology, but simply because the resources are there. Norway is another brilliant example. Norway is a mountainous country with hundreds of rivers and fjords. All that falling water is perfect for hydroelectric power. Norway generates around 88% of its electricity from hydro. It is one of the most renewable energy mixes in the world. And then there's the UK again, a country with limited fossil fuel reserves now that North Sea oil and gas are declining, but with excellent wind resources, particularly offshore. The UK has the windiest coastline in Europe. That is why offshore wind has become such a central part of the UK's energy strategy.
Right. Now we've covered the core content, let's talk exam technique. Because knowing the content is only half the battle. You need to know how to use it in the exam to actually earn marks. First, let's talk about command words. When you see the word describe in a question about the energy mix, examiners want you to state what the energy mix looks like. Give percentages, name the sources, identify the dominant source. Do not explain why. Just describe. Two or three developed points with supporting data will earn you full marks on a describe question. When you see explain, and this is where most marks are available, you need to go further. You need to give a reason and then develop it. The classic mistake candidates make is writing a list of facts without explaining the links. For example, writing Nigeria uses lots of oil gets you one mark, but writing Nigeria uses oil as its dominant energy source because it has large oil reserves in the Niger Delta and as a lower income country with a GDP per capita of around $2,000, it lacks the capital investment needed to develop expensive renewable alternatives,
That gets you 3 or 4 marks. See the difference? You have linked the resource availability to the country's wealth, and you have used a specific named example with a statistic. When you see assess or evaluate, these are the big extended writing questions, usually worth 6, 9, or 12 marks. You need to do 3 things. You need to make a point, support it with evidence, and then make a judgment. You also need to consider more than one side. So if you are asked to assess the extent to which wealth determines a country's energy mix, you would argue, yes, wealth is important, here is your evidence, but you would also argue that resource availability can override wealth, here is your counter-evidence, and then you would reach an overall conclusion. Now, let's talk about the 3 most common mistakes I see candidates make on energy mix questions. Mistake number 1. Confusing energy mix with energy demand or energy consumption. I mentioned this at the start, and I am mentioning it again because it really does cost marks. The energy mix is about proportions. Always use that word. Mistake number 2. Giving generic descriptions of energy resources rather than focusing on the mix. If a question asks you to explain why a country's energy mix varies, do not spend your answer describing what solar panels are or how wind turbines work. The examiner wants you to explain the proportions. Why does this country use more of this and less of that? Mistake number 3. Failing to use named examples with specific data. This is a geography exam. Examiners expect named places, named countries, and statistics. A country in Africa uses biomass, earns no marks. Nigeria, with a GDP per capita of around $2,000, relies on biomass for approximately 8% of its energy because large rural populations lack grid connections. That earns marks. Names, numbers, links.
Now, a quick tip on fieldwork. While the energy mix itself is not typically a fieldwork topic, you might be asked in Paper 3 to evaluate data about energy use in an issue evaluation context. If that happens, apply your data skills. Look for patterns, anomalies, and trends. Ask yourself, which country is the outlier? Why might that be? What does the data not tell us? Right, let's do our quickfire recall quiz. I'll ask you a question, give you a few seconds to think, then give you the answer. Ready? Question 1. What is the definition of the energy mix? The energy mix is the different proportions of energy resources a country uses to meet its total energy demand. Question 2. Name the 3 factors that cause global variations in the energy mix. Population, wealth, and availability of energy resources. Remember, PWR, power. Question 3. Approximately what percentage of the UK's electricity currently comes from renewables? Around 33%, wind, solar, and hydro combined. Question 4. Which country generates around 88% of its electricity from hydroelectric power, and why? Norway, because its mountainous terrain and numerous rivers make it ideal for hydroelectric power generation. Question 5. What is the key difference between an HIC and an LIC in terms of their energy mix? HICs can afford expensive but cleaner technologies, like renewables and nuclear. LICs tend to rely on cheaper fossil fuels or biomass due to lower GDP and less capital for infrastructure investment. How did you do? If you got all 5, brilliant. You are in great shape. If you missed some, go back and reread your notes on those specific points. Let's wrap up with a quick summary of everything we've covered today. The energy mix is the proportions of different energy resources a country uses to meet its demand. Do not confuse it with energy demand or energy consumption. The UK's energy mix has shifted dramatically, from coal-dominated in the 1970s to a modern mix of gas at 38%, renewables at 33%, nuclear at 16%, and coal at just 2%. Global variations in the energy mix are driven by 3 key factors: population, which affects total demand and distribution, wealth, which determines what technologies a country can afford, and resource availability, which shapes what is practical to use. Named examples are essential. Saudi Arabia uses oil because it has vast reserves. Iceland uses geothermal because of its volcanic geology. Norway uses hydro because of its mountainous rivers. Nigeria relies on fossil fuels and biomass because of its lower income and large rural population. In the exam, always use the word proportions when defining energy mix. Always link your explanations to at least two of the three factors. Always use named examples with statistics. And on extended writing questions, always reach a clear judgment. That's it for today's episode of Revision Ready. You have got this. Go back, cover your notes, and test yourself, because retrieval practice is the single most effective revision technique there is. I'll see you in the next episode. Good luck!